From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When you think about cities in Illinois that are afflicted by gun violence, what comes to mind? Maybe Chicago? It certainly gets a lot of coverage in the news media and attention from our elected officials. But gun violence in Illinois goes well beyond Chicago. Late last month, Peoria made national headlines after a mass shooting left six people injured following a total of 29 rounds fired. And there are other downstate communities that are also afflicted by gun violence. We looked at data from 2022, combining the census figures with Gun Violence Archive information. That's a nonprofit that tracks gun violence through police reports and news stories and other public data. We found that communities such as Carbondale and Champaign have significant shooting problems, and other towns like Decatur, and especially the relatively small community of Danville, has a problem approaching the magnitude of Chicago's when you look at it per capita. For example, in Chicago, one in just every 1,000 residents was shot in 2022, but in Danville, that figure was one in a little more than 1,000, not all that different. Joining us now to talk about downstate gun violence and what might be done about it is Devon Joyner, Executive Director of the Old Kings Orchard Community Center in Decatur. Devon, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being with us. And let me also introduce Shemuel Sanders, who is Executive Director and founder of Shemila Outreach Center, also based in Decatur. Shemila is the name of his daughter. We'll get to her story a little later on. Shemuel, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well. All right, Shemuel, we may be having some audio connection.
Hi,
oh, you're
I'm
there.
Sorry.
You're great. Okay, great. Not muted today. All right. Let me invite our listeners. If you want to join our conversation today, 800-222-9455 is the number to do so. That's 800-222-9455. Shemuel, I want to start with you. And as you see it, let's look big picture. What are some of the root causes of gun violence in our communities?
One of the things I believe is social media is one of the biggest problems that we got going on in our city. A lot of social media, that's where it starts off at. And then it gets into the schools, and then it's pretty bad in the schools as well.
You know, sometimes we hear in the media this narrative about gangs or groups. Can you talk about that? Are there gangs in your towns, or is it more, you know, developed into something else with this younger generation?
So we really it's not gangs anymore. It's just groups. It's like cliques, different ones. They got a sometimes south side against the east side, but it's more of cliques. Our town's so small, they fights over the turfs, but the majority of cliques, youth coming together, don't like this group of youth, and it just escalates to something even worse. And then that's when the gun violence starts.
Yeah. Devon, let me ask you the same question. When you look around, what do you see as the root causes of gun violence?
Okay, so there's a lot of things that leads into what Mr. Sanders has just described. Unfortunately, when you go to root cause, you know, you look at what the family units are dealing with, and it starts to grow. You know, it's almost like a cancer. So, you know, when there's a breakdown in the home of what the children are exposed to, you know, we look at what schools are showing us in their teachings what home life should look like. A mother, a father, possible siblings. You go to school, you get an education, and from your education, you start to look for employment. In the inner city right now, because resources and the way home dynamics are, kids aren't looking forward to those things. They're looking forward to the basic needs being met and surviving. And, you know, survival sometimes when your basic needs aren't being met might lead to you looking for people that are on the same plane, the same experience, you know, and that's what leads to gangs. When you don't have guidance at home, then you start looking for outside factors, and those outside factors then win. So whatever it takes to get your food needs met, shelter needs met, security needs met. Those sometimes lead to outside forces that might not be positive, and that leads to negative interactions at times.
Yeah, yeah. So, Shemuel Sanders, I mentioned you're the executive director and founder of Shemila's Outreach Center. To the extent you're comfortable talking about it, who was Shemila in life?
Shemila, she was my daughter. She was my youngest daughter. And that's where the name Shemila came.
What was she like? Tell us about her.
She was a really quiet young lady. She didn't bother nobody. She graduated from high school. She worked as a manager. She moved up as management at Burger King. Very happy, happy-going person. Really never went nowhere. When she did, she was a really good young lady. Never got in trouble. Never been in trouble with the law. Good grade in school. And she had a whole lot of life ahead of her, you know.
Yeah.
Two beautiful boys. She was a good person.
I know this can be difficult, but what happened to her in 2020?
She was at the wrong place at the wrong time. She was shot and killed. It took a lot from us. They took part of my heart. That was my, like I said, youngest daughter. She had two beautiful boys. One she just had. And it was right around the COVID. And it just took a lot out of us. And I knew something had to give. I had to do something to try to turn this community around. So what I do is from my heart. It's a passion to try to turn these youth around. I connected with Devon. He's an awesome person. He's been doing this for some time. So we really trying our hardest to turn this community around here in Decatur.
Yeah. My heart goes out to you. I'm so sorry for your loss, and thank you for sharing your story and her story with us today. So talk about that. You try to turn this grief into Shemila's Outreach Center. What work do you try to do there?
So we started off with, I had 10 youth, and the 10 youth that I was working with, they was, those the ones was misguided. Like Devon said earlier, it starts in the home. So a lot of times in the home, these youth don't have that kind of guidance that they need out here. So I took them 10 youth and started a incentive work program to teach the youth how to cut yards properly. We'll go out to elders that couldn't get out to cut their yards, and I would give them allowance to try to turn them around, and then bring in speakers to speak life to them. Devon Joyner was one of ones that would come in and to speak to the youth to try to help turn them around. We started that with, like I said, 10 youth, and it just escalated to end of that summer. It was over 30 youth, and paying them $100 a week to keep them off the streets, give them some positive money in their pockets. And just teach them how to make honest money. So then following year came, I end up with about 100 youth. And COVID was still around. A lot of the youth was not going to school or getting on their, what they call the new way to learn, the e-learning. A lot of the youth didn't know how. So right in the middle of COVID, I connected with the Salvation Army here in Decatur. To bring the youth in that is not getting on their tablets to help me show them how to do it and tutor them. So that's what we was doing with, I can't hear, with the tutoring, brought in some certified teachers. And like I said, we're right in COVID, so we couldn't do but 10 at a time. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it was helping these youth get on the right track and the right path. Some was getting straight Fs and zeros. Yeah. They started getting A's and B's. And it just escalated from there. And then this year, because I've only been doing it for 3 years, this year I've worked with over 300 youth, and we have a outreach program now. We have a building where they come in to get tutored, a safe haven place for them.
Okay. That sounds amazing. Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the problem of gun violence, particularly as it's experienced in some smaller downstate communities, places like Decatur and Danville. And Decatur is where our two guests are joining us from today. We've been speaking with Shemuel Sanders, who's executive director and founder of Shemuel's Outreach Center, named for his daughter, who was tragically killed as a bystander in a shooting incident in 2020. We're also talking with Devon Joyner, executive director of the Old Kings Outreach, the Old Kings Orchard Community Center in Decatur. And Devon, I want to ask you about another aspect. You know, we often focus on the people who are killed, right? And these are obviously terrible tragedies for those individuals and their families and friends. We don't talk nearly as much about people who are wounded. And I know you have some very close experience with this. Can you talk about the effect of surviving, what effect that has on people?
Yes. So, you know, when I talked with Mr. Zepeda, you know, he asked me about, you know,
this is one of our producers.
Yes, sir. And he asked me about people involved with gun violence. So, you know, I have three boys and a daughter. My youngest boy is 17. The two older boys are 29 and 31. And in February 7th of 2021, the middle boy, who's 29, you know, that's that age gap. You know, it's like right in that late teenage stage. You know, that's where the gun violence is affecting the most. And he lives in Columbus, Georgia. And I can this resonates with me and Mr. Sanders' experience. You know, he was shot four times down there. He survived it, you know, and the trauma he's dealing with behind that, you know, is he's dealing with PTSD now, you know. And again, this young man he didn't have a record, you know, whatsoever, you know, and just being in the realm of that atmosphere caused him some issues. He was shot in both legs, his right hand, which is his dominant hand, and in his hip. It's a blessing that all four wounds, you know, were able to heal. They went clean through. They didn't hit any major vessels. But, you know, it's an issue that our kids deal with. You know, do they want to go back and get revenge? You know, a lot of that is because of the shootings right now. You know, these kids are going back. They can't get past that pain of losing friends, you know, losing family members. So it changed his life. And he has two daughters. And it didn't happen in his home. It happened in an outing, you know, and some people he was with was targeted. So trying to fix that mental side, trying to get him to just not be nervous around anyone anymore. It's a hard transition, you know, so you have to talk about mental health at this point, you know, and when you're not fully developed, you know, there's studies that males, for instance, the mind isn't developed until the late 20s. You know, they're still trying to find their way physically, mentally, those type of incidents. I went to Iraq in 1990. And I was in the field artillery unit, and I deal with PTSD from the war, you know, so I can understand, you know, what some of these folks are facing on a day-to-day basis, the families, the kids that their peers. So it's hard to get the mind to understand what's going on in the streets. So there's so many facets on what has to be addressed in dealing with gun violence and just crime in general.
Yeah. And, you know, it strikes me that, and we only have about a minute left before we need to take a break, but, you know, it's often in people don't appreciate how much that people who carry out gun violence, people who do the shooting, have often been victims themselves. And Devon, it sounds like that's what you've seen a lot of.
Right, right. And you have to develop programs that are very deliberate, you know, to address all the issues that come with it.
Yeah. All right. We are going to take a break. We are going to continue this conversation. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the solutions and what our guests would like to see out of our government. The state of Illinois says it is approaching gun violence as a public health crisis. I want to know if our guests who are working with this very close to the ground indicator, if they see the effects of that. Do they see the state and the government treating it that way? What is the local police role in what we've been talking about? That has not come up much in our conversation yet. We are going to continue this conversation after a short break. If you want to join us today, we are live. 800-222-9455 is the number to do that. Once again, the number is 800-222-9455. We're going to continue this conversation. And then a little later in the program, we're going to have a preview of the upcoming PrisonCast broadcast aimed at people who are incarcerated in Illinois prisons, their family members outside, and the rest of us who elect the officials who set the policy there, and our tax money goes to pay for it. We're going to talk about all that today on the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the problem of violence, particularly as it afflicts some of our downstate communities, right? The attention often goes to Chicago in the news media, and obviously that is where most of the people are in Illinois and most of the shootings are. But per capita, this is also a problem that we see in Peoria, in Champaign, in even smaller cities like Danville and Decatur. And Decatur is where our two guests are joining us from today. Devon Joyner is executive director of the Old Kings Orchard Community Center in Decatur, and Shemuel Sanders is executive director and founder of Shemila's Outreach Center, which is also based in Decatur. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us on the program today. That's 800-222-9455. And Shemuel, I want to ask you, I mentioned before the break, the state of Illinois says it's approaching gun violence as a public health crisis. And I wonder if you see it that way. Do you see evidence of them, you know, the government taking that approach in the work you're doing? I don't know if you might be muted again. Okay. Maybe Devon, let me try putting that question to you while we see if we can get Shemuel back with us. Do you see evidence of this?
Yeah, right now, there's a lot of money out there with a lot of different programs that is pushing to curb gun violence, youth development, community development. You know, one of the main ones right now is the R3 movement, renew, reinvest, rejuvenate. And, you know, that's from the taxes generated through marijuana sales. But then IDHS is pushing a lot of money into this as well. We just received a grant through IDHS called Youth Reimagine. And what it is entailing us to put a mentorship program together in a safe place, you know. So the thought is to get individuals involved with some of the youths out here that are disadvantaged, at risk, and bring them in and show them new experience, introduce them to things they would traditionally not see or not be exposed to. And then just try to curb the mindset and the narrative that are most likely to play out in these inner city neighborhoods right now. You know, we have some other monies that have been dedicated, you know, in partnership with the city of Decatur. And it's, we have a program that we're gonna roll out called OKO Peace. You know, OKO stands for Old Kings Orchard. And I think me and Mr. Sanders are going to work together in these initiatives, as the city of Decatur has also partnered with his organization as well. And you mentioned about the police a little while ago, right?
Yes, yes, indeed. Go ahead.
It's going to be a large part of this initiative from our standpoint at Old Kings Orchard. What we plan on doing is getting together with DPD. We have our credibility in the way the community looks at our organization we have a good rapport, if I must say. And there's a lot of community confidence with what we do in our other programs that the police department in the city of Decatur, the officials there, feel we can make a bigger impact if we have a deliberate approach. So they're going to give us names. You know, the police department has a lot of intel. Sometimes they can only move when there's evidence present of a crime. You know, sometimes there's when there's no crimes being committed or they do not have enough evidence to move forward, there are forces moving within the community that continue to have influence on what's occurring. So the approach is to give us the names that they are watching closely and let us try to do an outreach, have a conversation, and influence something different versus violence, you know. And if we can find out what is driving the violence, what are the beefs per se, or, you know, what is old, maybe we can do some mediations and figure out, you know, what can settle the situations to stop another shooting. You know, sometimes you can't stop what's going to happen because people have had their minds made up. But if we can give it a shot, if we can bring some people to the table, talk about what can occur to make everybody whole. You know, what can we do to prevent someone else close to both sides of whatever factions, gangs, groups to curb someone else that they care about from getting killed, you know, and try to come up with some type of truce that everyone can hold true to, you know. And what I think it takes is those that are actually holding the resources in the community to go above and beyond to offer a different course of life, you know, not just open the doors and say, this is what we have to offer. We need to be deliberate in taking what we have to offer and getting individuals that are less likely to take those paths in those roles. So that's the approach we're trying to do here in Decatur with some of these peace projects. It's mm-hmm. unprecedented because the police are willing to work with us, knowing that we're not coming in as an informant. We will have conversations if there's a life and death situation involved, but, you know, there's going to be confidentiality based mm-hmm. on, you know, if you want people to be comfortable with you, if you want people to have confidence that you are moving in their direction, then sometimes you can't bring up everything until there's something different offered out there for them that really embraces what they got going on. You yeah. kind of understand what I'm saying?
I do. And Shemuel Sanders, we're coming to the end of our time together. Are you back with us? All right. Well, I guess, Devon, get you the last word to you then. What do you want your fellow Illinoisans, you know, people maybe who don't live in the communities that are disproportionately affected by this violence, who, you know, it's something they see on the news. It's not something they have to live every day. What do you want them to do? What do you want to see more from your government and your fellow Illinoisans as we think about trying to prevent these cycles of violence?
You know, I think, you know, even when you look at it on the political scale, on the financial economic scale, you know, we're dealing with social economic issues. The whole term, or, you know, just the saying, it takes a village, it takes a tribe. We have broken down and become separated on so many issues, you know, race, color, religion, political. We have to come together as a whole. We, you know, like I said, I'm ex-military. We now live in silos, you know, and when you go into the hood, people in the hood don't even know each other anymore. That's not how it used to be, you know? So when people have issues, problems, struggles, barriers, they have no one to turn to. And that's what we have to learn, to break those barriers down and come together as a whole and make sure everyone has adequate shelter, make sure everyone is eating, make sure everyone's children have their needs met. And once we do that, we will start to have confidence in each other. And then the violence will stop. But until we allow each other to love again, you know, and that's a broad statement, but it's just the facts. Love can be shown in so many different ways, you know, and not make it personal. Even on social media, you see people doing things that is pretty much exploiting, and they're doing it for self-confidence, self-satisfaction, nothing should be, we need to become selfless. Once we get back to that, I think people will start appreciating each other again and we can move in a different direction. But until then, we're in trouble.
Devon Joyner is executive director of the Old Kings Orchard Community Center. We've also been speaking with Shemuel Sanders earlier in our program today. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your work with us on the 21st Show.
Hey, I appreciate you having me. Hey, God bless us all.